Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, it's your man Will back here in the Facebook Fifth Quarter Sports Show. Don't want it to get mixed up with any other Fifth Quarter Sports Show, because apparently there are more than one. Or there is more than one. All right. It's been a very long day. Should have done the show yesterday. Got caught up with a work thing. Got caught up again at work. Tonight, ran in right at 10 o'clock, kissed the baby, played with the dog, choked down some food, and I'm on the air. I could have called it quits again and said, no, not going to do it, too tired. I put it off one night, didn't want to do it too. So I'm here now, doing the best I can to give you a show. And this one is important because we are down to the final four when it comes to the NFL. So we have the conference championships, AFC and NFC, coming up Sunday. So we got a review last week. Talk about the NBA All-Star game. Votes are still coming in on that front. And this college football transfer portal business that popped up out of nowhere. Now all of a sudden everyone is in the portal. Yeah, this is weird also. So yeah, that's what we got going on. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the portal and the Saints versus the Rams, the Patriots versus the Chiefs. But before we get into all of that, let me get a disclaimer that I always give. Before I give that disclaimer, let me give another one. If you're listening, someone, please let me know that if the sound is distorted or anything of that nature, please feel free to let me know, because I understand sometimes that it happens, and I just don't want to be sitting here doing a show where it's just complete static. Don't want to do that. So, let me give you the disclaimer. Welcome to the Fifth Quarter Sports Show, where I know mathematically that five quarters is totally incorrect, but take the extra quarter, stanza, period, 25 cents, make it count, play it forward. If you are listening online, I appreciate you for listening. I appreciate you for joining me. Like I said, it's been a rough couple of days, but we're here. If you're listening online, if you have a comment, you want to dial in, the number is 657-383-1519, 657-383-1519. Once you're online, if you have a comment, a critique, a criticism, anything like that, let's try to be respectful. Let's try to keep it clean. Just press the number one. We'll get you in there. No problem at all. If you're one of those people that do not like to hear the sound of your voice, like I am for some strange, weird reason, and I have a talk show, feel free to text in at 678-369-3050. And I already have a caller from New Jersey. I know who this is. let me prepare myself. Go ahead, man. What you got?
How do you do, bro? This is Lou from Jersey. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. How are you?
Yeah. Man, I'm new to this show, but new to Blog Talk? No. Not new to Blog Talk at all. 3 years.
Oh. Okay. So what's on your mind tonight?
So, Well, I hear that your main topic that time was, of course, now we're down to the final four in the NFL playoffs. I will say this, well, my personal opinion, I think the NFC matchup is going to be more of a shootout than, say, with the AFC. I see the, you know, the NFC matchup is more of a high-scoring affair. I don't think we're going to see this, you know, like 6-3 or blow out like a 31-3 in this matchup. I mean, you got the two best teams in the NFC going all at it, and this is going to be like even better than the Super Bowl.
So the NFC Conference Championship, you're saying that more an Arena Football League type conference championship, right?
Well, I don't know if I go that far. I mean, I don't think we're going to see 75-68, but you know.
Gotcha.
You know, but we're going to see it high.
Understood. Now.
Yeah, I mean that's
going by
more like an Arena League type score.
Yeah. Now, going back to, like, what we saw last week, I don't think the Saints are going to be that rusty. And probably if Alshon Jeffrey wouldn't have went bird box on us and completely lost track of the ball, we might not even be talking about this. Philadelphia may have would have been going out to L.A. to play the Rams.
Well,
but
I think
with that being said, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. Well, I do think though that Goff has an edge over, you know, being age younger, faster. I mean, Breeze, you know, he's up there in age now, you know, and he's slowed a bit. You know, he's on his last legs, you know, making a run. I think, you know, Goff has more of an edge, you know, with this, and that's why I think the Rams are gonna, you know, pull this out.
Okay, so you got the Rams. Now, as far as the AFC, what do you feel on that?
Brady is done. I don't see this happening again. I don't see the Patriots going to the Super Bowl. Mahomes is, you know, for a young guy, he's really got, you know, he's really got it, and I think can outmaneuver Brady. And it's about time.
So we're looking at your prediction, a Rams Chiefs Super Bowl.
You can say that.
Okay. I don't have a problem with that. I can tell you this, that being that I'm in Atlanta, there are a lot of people that potentially will be jumping off of buildings. Should the same.
What happened to you guys this year, though?
Okay. Full disclosure. You can ask that same question about the team that I support, which is the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you can ask that same question. But
well, I think I have the answer for that.
Yeah. I think what ended up happening with Atlanta, they wanted to use the next man up cliche. The next man up wasn't as good as the first man up, and some of the first men up were kind of mediocre at best. So you had that, and it was some complacency involved. They got off to a slow start, and I think the whole paradigm just shifted when they went to Cleveland, and Cleveland beat them, and everything just went downhill from there. Plus, a lot of the key players that made a difference were injured. So going back to what they've done now is kind of like this, I think it's a desperation move where Dan Quinn is going to be the defense coordinator. They're bringing back Dirk Cutter. It's kind of like a security blanket for Matt Ryan. Sarkisian is gone, and I think they still have the guy from Oakland's name. He went to Oakland for a moment. He's still going to be the Greg Knapp. He's still going to be there also. The issue is you have a high-power offense, but you can't stop anybody. It's not as high-powered as Kansas City, but the defense can do the same thing. They may show up every now and then. But they're just basically schizophrenic. You don't know what team will show up. And this upcoming season, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on around, you know, around the team and everything. So we just got to wait and see what's going to happen. But if 2 years from now, if they don't make a playoff run, they're going to clean house. Everybody has to go.
Yeah. The last time the Chiefs won was back in 1970.
That is correct. And that was
Lynn Dawson.
Lynn Dawson, Hank Stram was the coach. That is
the year of my birth.
They beat the Vikings that year, didn't they?
Vikings never won.
No. I was saying the Chiefs beat the Vikings in the Super Bowl that year.
Yes.
Is that correct? Thank you. There we go. I'm learning some stuff. Well,
that was the year I was born, too.
Oh, well, there you go. So
that's
more of a reason to remember that. All right. Chiefs, Rams, where are you going? Which one you think is going to win and why?
Flip a coin. No, I'm going to take the Chiefs.
Chiefs are gonna win. You got a score?
7-7. I'm gonna say this is gonna be another high scoring affair. I'm gonna say it's gonna be, medium high. Right? I'll say 31-28.
31-28.
Yes.
I'll hold you to that. 31-28. Chiefs are Super Bowl champs. Cool. You know, should the Patriots and the Saints make it, it's going to be a lot of people jumping off of buildings here in Atlanta because the Saints are like the blood rivals, and right up under them now is the Patriots, who continuously troll Atlanta Falcons fans.
They're a bunch of cheaters anyway.
With the 28-3 scenario. So I have that thought also, but I don't want to be labeled as a hater.
Right.
But all of the titles have to have an asterisk by them for some reason or another. That's how I feel. So apparently you feel the same way.
I thought they cheated in last week's game.
Who did they play last week?
Chargers.
Ah. I didn't see all of that one, but
you're lucky.
I actually picked San Diego, but then I thought about it.
Yeah.
Those two cross country trips probably just had a toll on them. They did not show up at all.
Yeah, wear and tear.
It was too late.
Wear and tear syndrome.
Yeah. All right, man. Cold weather, going back and forth, and I'm quite sure with standing in the airport or government shutdown, TSA not helping in the case along. So, yeah.
Right.
Probably
didn't
do them any favors.
Yeah.
But, man,
If you get a chance, you know, I have a show of my own on Saturday nights. Wait, where are you based?
Mm-hmm.
You're based in Atlanta? Okay,
mm-hmm.
Good. It's the same time zone then. I have a show on Saturday nights called the Enhanced Sports Show. We're on 6
okay.
to 8. The number is, right now, I wasn't careful because this is tricky. 6, oh, excuse me. Because it's a little bit of a tricky number because you have, like, a PIN number and all that, so you might want to take this down. 605-562-0444. PIN number is 261-2556, pound, and then 1. Now, after you press the pound sign, wait for the operator to dial the extra 1. They'll ask you if you are a member or not, and you are not a member of the service we provide. So just dial the extra 1, after the pound, but wait for the operator to say that. Otherwise, you're not going to get it because that messes everybody up.
Okay.
It does. So it's starting at 6 to 8, so I hope you get a chance to call in.
No problem, man. I support you because you supported me. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks.
No problem, man. Okay, so previewing this these games. So if you're asleep, living under a rock, just don't know what's going on, we had the matchup between New Orleans and Philadelphia. Also, we had the Kansas City Chiefs and the – wait. Let me make sure. Like I said, it's been a long day, so let me focus. Okay. We had Kansas City and the Colts, Indianapolis Colts, in which the Colts completely gave up. They did the best that they can do. They tried. Just wasn't enough. And then we had the Chargers and the Patriots. Same thing, same scenario. Which leaves us set up with the Chiefs hosting the Patriots in Kansas City on Sunday, where the projected temperature, I think, is supposed to be like 8 or 10 degrees. So if you're not a football fan, if you are a football fan, let's just say this. When it's single digits, it's damn cold. And a lot of stuff's just not going to be the same. So it really doesn't matter if you're playing football, if you're working on a pole, if you're taking out trash, it's cold. And things are just not going to go exactly the way that you think that they should because it's 8 degrees. Let's just be honest about that. Okay. In the NFC, we had the Rams turn to just like an old Notre Dame college movie, and they ran completely over the Dallas Cowboys. Between Todd Gurley and what is C.J. Anderson, I'm both calling Chris Anderson. C.J. Anderson, they had over 200 yards rushing, and Dallas could not stop them. Which, the score was a whole lot closer than the game really was. It wasn't that close. It just wasn't that close. So don't let the score fool you. Oh. What was the score? I don't even remember. Let me go back. 22-30. So it was 30-22. Dallas scored a late, like, garbage touchdown. But that was that. So Kansas City defeated the Colts 31-13. The Patriots beat the Chargers 41-28. Same situation there. It became close near the end. So it's not like they actually had a chance. They had a chance when the coin was flipped, and that was pretty much it. Now, the game of the weekend, that was the Eagles Saints. And I watched this game with high interest because I knew it would be a very interesting game, basically. No other way to put it. So, New Orleans wins the coin toss, I believe. They come out on offense. However the way it goes, New Orleans gets the ball first. And right off the rip, Drew Brees throws an interception. And it just snowballs. They're playing horribly. And then you look up, they're behind 14 points. 14-0. Then it's 14-3. And the next thing you know, it's 20-14. The Saints went ahead and scored 20 unanswered points, and Philadelphia just could not get out of their own way. Now, they had some injuries. Fletcher Cox injured for Philadelphia, but the biggest loss during the game was to defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins of the New Orleans Saints. And I think that's going to be a big deal, because with the running game that the Rams have, I sincerely think that they're going to try to take advantage of whoever his replacement is, and they're going to try to run right at that person. And with the backs that they have to do that, to take that run there, especially if they get a few yards in, let's say, getting ahead of the chain, if it's like 2nd and 6 and 3rd and 3, that just opens up a whole nother level of play calling that you can do with the running game. And then if the passing game is on point, New Orleans can be in trouble. Now, you flip that around, the Rams could be in trouble. Also, they have an excellent front four, a schizophrenic secondary, and their cornerbacks are vulnerable to double moves. So basically, you get them a good fake, they're going to jump all over that. So if you hit them with a move where you fake one way and go another, do something like that, may be in trouble. Now, as I was stating to my guy from New Jersey, I don't think that the Saints are going to come out that flat again. That was not the same Saints team that earned the number one seed in the NFC. It was some rest involved. They had to bye. Even this last game of the year, they rested a lot of players. So it was still kind of rusty. And also, the Philadelphia defense was, you know, this is not the same defense that played early in the season when the Saints blew out the Eagles. Everything was different. The corners were making better plays. The secondary was making better plays, as far as the safeties and the cornerbacks, and, you know, and then all of a sudden everything just fell apart. As I stated, had Ashon Jeffrey not dropped that pass, there's a strong possibility the Eagles could have gotten into overtime, tied the game up, or won the game by taking the lead. So, the Saints escaped by the hair on their chinny chin chin, as they may say. But I don't think that they are going to play as flat as they did last week. As far as a prediction for myself, it's still the Rams. So, with it still being the Rams, I think as much of a offensive genius Sean McVay is, I think that something special is going to be dialed up in the head of Sean Payton. So, this is like the Sean Bowl. So, being as petty as Sean Payton is, I know he's going to come after Marcus Peters because they have had some words in the past. So something is going to be brewing there. Something's going to be cooking there to get his ire, make him look a particular type of way. But I think the Saints are going to come to Atlanta and represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. Yeah. I do. I'll say 37-31. That will be my prediction for the NFC championship, whether it be not Lombardi, the George Halas Trophy, the championship trophy that goes to the NFC. Yeah, I think that'll be back in New Orleans. So that's what I feel on that one. Now, this AFC game. Very intriguing because the Chiefs are, let's say this, before they lost Kareem Hunt or released him due to the domestic violence situation he had, they were high powered. They were nuclear. No one could stop them. And they couldn't stop anybody either. Multiple games were just shootouts. And then the Chargers came to Kansas City and beat them. So it kind of gave you a game plan. So that Bill Belichick does not have some type of game plan cooking to slow down Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and this whole Kansas City offense. He's a genius. He doesn't have 5 Super Bowls for nothing. Cheaters or not, he's going to have a game plan. Now, whether it can be completely executed for an extended period of time, we don't know, remains to be seen. Now, if you flip it on the other side, you have arguably the greatest quarterback to ever play in the NFL at the age of 41. Tapping on the door of another Super Bowl. The running game is taking off with Sony Michel and James White. You still have Rob Gronkowski. Same, you know, basically the same cast of characters, Julian Edelman, those guys. The defense is not as strong as it has been in the past, even though it is the top scoring defense in the NFL. It's not, I don't think it's going to be as stout as it has been. Now, should New England win this game, it's going to be a defensive play that's going to seal it. Rather than if it's a fumble recovery, an interception, a block, field goal, something of that nature. That's what it's going to boil down to. And it doesn't have to be like in the last seconds of the game or anything. If they can make one or two defensive plays against Kansas City to slow that offense down or get it out of sorts, they'll win the game and they'll go to the Super Bowl. Now, Kansas City, I think if they can get a pass rush on Tom Brady, they're going to be in business. If they can get them to the point where they being Kansas City, can get New England, let me just completely clear it up because I know I'm confusing somebody. Once I heard it in my head, it was confusing to me too. So, if Kansas City can get New England, stop the running game and get them behind in the chain. When I say behind in the chain, that's the down and distance. If it's 2nd and 8, 2nd and 9, 3rd and 10, something of that nature, and you're able to pin your proverbial ears back and go after Brady, They got some hombres that can get to Tom Brady that won't be a problem as much as you know that, hey, I have no option but to drop back and pass the ball because of this situation or that situation. My original pick was the Saints Chargers. This time I'm going to keep my Saints pick. I think that it's Saints Chiefs. And I got a whole nother week to worry about picking the Super Bowl winner, so how about that one? Now, the ironic thing is, you know, they used to say defense wins championships. The Rams, the Saints, the Patriots, and the Chiefs are the top four offenses in the NFL. And all of them have made it. They're the best four teams, and they made it to the championship round of the conference. The thing that I believe that got the Patriots through the season, and like my man said, he thinks it's done. He thinks it's over with them. That defense is what's holding them together. If you can have a less than stellar offense like they are now. Everyone's getting older. They're not the same guy that they were in the past. But that defense stepped up to support them. Same situation in Kansas City against the Colts. That defense stepped up and frustrated Andrew Luck and got to him when it hadn't done anything all year. Now, if either one of these teams bows up and plays a terrific defensive game, chances are they'll win. But if it boils down to some shootouts and it says, you know, hey, no one's playing any defense, you're going to see an exciting brand of football. But I think the Saints and the Chiefs are going to prevail on that level. Okay. Moving on. I didn't even plan on getting into that like that, but I had to work my way backwards because my caller jumped in with the NFL talk. But I am great. No problem. I can work with it. Had to be quick on my feet. Okay. Jumping back out, let's see where I had to go from last week. Told you about, what's today? 17, 14 days. Told you about what's going on with the NFL. I talked about the scores, some other stories that's going on here. Like I said, Steve Sarkisian is out at here in Atlanta. So he was offered a job by the Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals, turned it down to go back to work for Nick Saban at Alabama. So Steve Sarkisian is going to be back in Alabama working with Nick Saban. I told you, Nick was back on the phone making the deal with the devil to re-up that contract. Oh, sorry, I had to take a sip of something. You know how that works. Okay. Also, in other NFL news, Bob Kuchenberg, who was part of the perfect team, record-wise, perfect team, the 72 Dolphins, died at the age of 71. He was a six-time Pro Bowler, played 14 seasons off with the Dolphins. So, yeah. Yeah. Not really that upset about it. Like, it's just, you know, it's a part of life. And anytime someone dies, you just kind of just put yourself in those shoes. Think about it. If it was, you know, one of your teammates, so, or relatives, or anything like that. So just a humbling moment. So condolences to the family. Now, the NFL also had a first to happen over the weekend. A young lady by the name of Sarah Thomas became the first woman to officiate an NFL playoff game when she was calling the game between, I almost lost my train of thought. I'm so used to seeing L.A. like the Rams. So I saw the L.A. Chargers, and it threw me off. I'm like, wait a minute, that wasn't right. Okay, I'm pulling it together. Keep in mind, I told y'all, it's been a long day. I've been up since like 9, 8 o'clock this morning. No rest, barely ate. It's showing, but I'm still fighting through. Bear with me. But she was one of the officials for the Chargers-Patriots game. Now, she's 46 years old, became a full-time official in 2015, and held together. Did a pretty decent job. So, not a totally bad-looking woman either, but her looks doesn't matter, per se. As long as she can blow a whistle and know what she's talking about, that's all that matters, right? Right. That's what we're going to say, yeah. All right. With everything being set as far as records and everything, there are a couple little things that's going to be taken care of once the Super Bowl happens. But the draft order for the 2019 draft has been set. So that's going to be in April. So with that, there's no lottery like the NBA. The worst record gets the first pick because the NFL believes in parity. So it's improved quicker, that type of deal. If they had everyone be 8-8, it'll be perfect. That's what everybody wants. Okay, the Cardinals have the first pick, followed by the 49ers, the Jets, the Raiders, Tampa Bay, New York Giants, Jacksonville Jaguars, Detroit Lions, Buffalo Bills, Denver Broncos, Cincinnati Bengals, Green Bay Packers, Miami Dolphins, Atlanta Falcons, Washington Redskins, Carolina Panthers, Cleveland Browns, Minnesota Vikings, Tennessee Titans, Pittsburgh Steelers, Seattle Seahawks, Baltimore Ravens, Houston Texans. Then the Raiders get another pick as far as the trade from Chicago. The Eagles, the Colts, the Raiders also get a 27th pick from Dallas for the Amari Cooper trade. Then the Chargers, Patriots, Rams, Chiefs, and then the Packers get a trade from New Orleans. So, depending on how everything fares with the Super Bowl and the conference championships and everything, that is subject to change. Devin White with LSU decided that he's going to put his name into the NFL hat. So he's going to the NFL, committing to the draft. Dallas Cowboy fans, your worst nightmare has come true. Scott Linehan will be your offensive coordinator for the next year. Sorry. Also, Kyler Murray, Heisman Trophy candidate, Heisman Trophy winner. Let me get that man his props. He is declaring for the draft, but still has the opportunity to play with the Oakland A's also. So congratulations to that young man. Patrick Mahomes was named the MVP by the Pro Football Writers of America and the Offensive Player of the Year. Now keep in mind, this is just his second year. So he may break a whole lot of records. In other news, shouts out to the city of Louisville, whichever, depending on where you are. They are renaming the airport after Muhammad Ali. that is just, that's great. So it won't be Louisville Regional Airport anymore. It'll be Muhammad Ali International Airport. That, kudos to them, man. That's great, man. That's just, that's speechless, man. Just leave you speechless. It's all good. Jump into the NBA real quick. Enes Kanter of the New York Knicks won't be going on a trip to London with the team when they play the Washington Wizards because Turkish prosecutors, they're seeking an international arrest warrant for Kanter. So they're accusing him of being a member of a terrorist organization. Now, I'm not saying like he's building bombs or anything like that, but they're saying that he's providing financial support to this group. Kanter is sitting here like, I've done nothing wrong. I don't even have a parking ticket in the U.S. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I think the dude is totally innocent. If he is guilty, though, wow. It's just wow. That would be so nuts. Just to think about that. You had a terrorist. That would be a bad look for the NBA. You have a terrorist on one of your most historic teams in the biggest market in the world. That's kind of crazy, ain't it? But it can happen. It can happen. All-Star voting for the NBA All-Star game, which is going to be next month in Cleveland, I believe. So they don't do like Eastern and Western. They kind of have like this. Well, they do Eastern Western, but they let the captains pick. So the captains are going to be the players that have the most votes. So they've done away with centers and forwards and power forwards. So they just have what they call front court and guards now. So for the Western Conference in the front court, LeBron James, Luka Doncic, Paul George, Kevin Durant. And the guards will be Steph Curry, Derrick Rose, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. In the Eastern Conference, the guards are Kyrie Irving, Dwayne Wade, Kemba Walker, Ben Simmons. The front court consists of Giannis Antetokounmpo. I can't get it. The Greek freak is what the Antetokounmpo. Yeah, there it is. Kawhi Leonard, Joel Embiid, and Jason Tatum. So the way that this worked, the NBA players are responsible for 25% of the vote. Then the media is 25%, and the coaches, and then fans. So it's used like that. And the voting concludes on January 21st, and the reserves are going to be chosen by the coaches. Now, the funny thing is, at this point, Kevin Durant and James Harden are the guys that's like really putting on the show this season, and they might not be starting. But this is truly based on the fans. So, kind of nuts, just letting you know what's going on there in the NBA. Also, some quick standings for the NBA. I'm just kind of sitting here waiting. But the four-letter network website is killing me, so you know how that is. In the Eastern Conference, the top eight teams are Milwaukee, Toronto, Indiana, Philadelphia, Boston, Brooklyn, Miami, and Charlotte. In the Western Conference is Golden State, Denver, Oklahoma City, Portland, Houston, San Antonio, Los Angeles Clippers, and the Utah Jazz. So, there we go. That's the NBA fix for today. Moving right along. Funny thing here, I just saw this, and this is kind of weird, but once I saw who it was, it's not weird anymore. Michael Beasley tried to check into the game. Mm-hmm. But he had on the wrong shorts. This is really, really weird. So, he plays for the Lakers. All right. The Lakers are playing at home. They're wearing their yellow or their gold uniforms. Luke Walton is telling Michael Beasley to come in. So Beasley takes off his warm-up jacket, goes to the table, makes sure that he has the little sticky stuff on the shoes, rips off the warm-up pants, and he has on black practice shorts. So once he realized that, but he wasn't at home, he was in Chesapeake Energy Arena. Let me think. Chesapeake Energy Arena. Oklahoma City. That's what it was. Okay. So once he realized that, runs to the locker room, gets his right shorts, runs back, and checks in. It's nuts. I mean, you're a professional. You have to know at least what color you're wearing. That is so raw. So wrong on so many levels. We've been talking about, I've been noticing this trend in college football where this word has come up and no one had really used the word before, but it's just all over the place. It's called the portal. So it is the college football transfer portal. A lot of people look at it and think that it's basically free agency for college football. Now, before I go further, if you are listening online, please feel free to dial in at 657-383-1519. Also, if you have a comment and you just want to text in, feel free to do that at 678-369-3050. Here's what I'm noticing about this transfer portal. It seems to be quarterbacks, number one. It seems to be, to me, sour grapes. And it used to be just where a quarterback may transfer because of, hey, he's gotten his degree at this particular school, and he can transfer immediately and play somewhere else because he has a college degree. That's what that rule is. But a lot of times you didn't hear about transfers as much. I think that the kids, and I say kids loosely, these young men are a product of society. What I mean is they don't want to be challenged. They don't want the competition they want to play immediately. I understand that competitiveness, but you committed to a college. You committed for 4 years, and I'm using air quotes because those scholarships are year to year. You committed to be a student athlete. That's funny. So you still can be that student. Hey, maybe you just won't start at this particular position. But I don't see that. I see it as being take my ball and go home type deal. Oh, well, since I can't play here, I'm going to go so-and-so. So this portal has come up. And I don't think anybody knew anything about this transfer portal until Justin Fields put his name in it. And then it was after Justin Fields, you started hearing about this transfer portal. Now, Justin Fields has already committed to go and play for Ohio State. Now, with that being done, that triggered Tate Martell, who was supposed to be the incumbent quarterback to the young man, oh God, what is his name? Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State. Because Haskins declared for the NFL draft, which would have left the quarterback position open. So Martell is the one that tweeted Justin Fields, you know, basically don't mess up, blah, 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 don't come here, they're going to be starting. Fields commits, Martell transfers, he's going to the University of Miami. Also, Georgia lost their second string quarterback in Justin Fields. They also lost the third string quarterback because he's going to transfer to TCU. Now, one of the biggest transfers of everyone is Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts has his college degree. So what Jalen can do is he can go anywhere he wants, and he's chosen to go to Oklahoma. So he's going to go to Oklahoma and be the starting quarterback immediately next year. Now, there's a strong possibility that Oklahoma can put three consecutive Heisman Trophy winners in the NFL. Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and now Jalen Hurts. It just depends on the way that the offense goes with him running it, saying that if they want to rely on his arm or if they are going to, you know, have a balanced offense. It's weird. The young man from Notre Dame, Wimbush, I told you about him transferring last week. It's just this mentality. It seems like, okay, I can't play quarterback. Maybe I can play receiver. I can't do this. Maybe I'll do that. But it really just seems like these young men just don't have the, what's a nice way to put it, intestinal fortitude to handle defeat. And maybe it's because they're used to being successful. They're used to being the big man on campus. They're used to winning, things of that nature. I'm not sure. But it just seems that whenever one of these young men decides that they can't, this, I'm not playing or anything, they go. They leave. They transfer. Now, it's sometimes that I believe that a transfer is valid. I come to your home as a coach, and I say, I want your son to come play for me. I want your daughter to come play for me at this particular school. I'm going to treat them like they're my child. I'm going to look out for them and make sure to go to class and all this and all that. And I'll be there the entire time that they're there with their college career and blah, 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 blah. 1 year later, I take a new coaching job. But part of the reason I came to this particular school is because of what you sold me on you and your program. But now you're changing programs. And I have to sit here and get used to a whole new coach again. But I came to play for you. In that situation, I do believe that a player should be able to transfer without any repercussions. Because normally when you transfer now, if you're not granted a waiver, you have to lose a year of eligibility. Certain situations where you're granted immediate eligibility. Like the young man, Shea Patterson, that was the quarterback at Ole Miss, University of Mississippi. Played there, recruited by the coach, who had he used the school's cell phone to contact services for women, let's say ladies of the night. So he did that and he got fired. So Patterson transferred, went to Michigan, and was able to play immediately because the coach was fired. I just think that there should be a rule. I mean, if I came to play for this coach and that coach is fired or leaves, I should be able to go wherever I want. Now, there's certain rules in certain conferences and certain people or coaches. Sorry. You can transfer anywhere you want, as long as it's not a conference foe. If you're SEC, for example, you play at Georgia, you can't transfer to Texas A&M because they're the SEC. You're Kentucky, you can't transfer to Alabama. Now, some people do have that written, and it's in there, and some people don't. It's just the way that it is. But I do believe that a person should be able to transfer when that situation happens. Now, you're not as good as you thought you were, and you lost your quarterback job because so-and-so beat you out, or you sat there and thought, I'm the greatest. It don't matter. I'm going to beat him, and I'm going to be the starter, and you're not the starter. So, well, I'm going to go somewhere where I'm appreciated. How about just work harder? Why not do that? Now, Jalen Hurts, I understand his situation. He has his degree. He sat there, and he did his time. He has a ring and went back to two championship games outside of the championship game that Alabama didn't win. Has an impressive record, but, you know, he has a degree, so he's smart enough to know there's no way that I'm going to start in front of this dude again. Everyone's in love with him, and even the fact that when we were struggling and we sucked, I didn't get put in. I have my degree. I can go somewhere and play immediately. Now, let me surround myself with some talented guys, and I can use my talents, and I can possibly get me another championship. Where can I go where someone needs another quarterback? Oh, Kyler Murray, declaring for the draft. University of Oklahoma. I understand it. I totally get that. Not to say that Tua Tagovailoa is not a great quarterback, a great college quarterback. A, I don't think he'll be able to do it in the pros consistently because not only Alabama but the SEC doesn't put a lot of great quarterbacks in the NFL. That's one. Two, I don't think Hurts deserved to lose his starting spot last year anyway. Not because of one game. And I'll say it until the end of time. If that's the case, you should have pulled Tua Tagovailoa against Clemson the same way you did Jalen Hurts the year before, instead of letting him sit in there and constantly put you in a hole. You have to be equal. That's what I feel. So I think that Jalen Hurts was a little irritated and felt, you know, that he was done wrong. So he left. Don't blame him. I don't blame one iota. I do not. Now, some of these other players, okay, you got beat out by someone and you're going to transfer. So possibly you're going to risk losing a year of playing time. Now, here's the weird thing. Okay, let's work this analogy. I'm the backup quarterback to, let's say, I'm bagging up Sam. Sam's the starting quarterback. So if Sam's the starting quarterback and I'm not getting playing time, and I decide to transfer, remember, I'm not getting playing time. I put my name in the transfer portal. And I don't get a waiver. All right, I'm a freshman. I want to transfer, so I missed my entire sophomore year. I can't play again until my junior year. No one has any tape on me. No one knows what I can do because I didn't get it in the game when I was bagging up Sam. Now, what I could do is take this as motivation, work my ass off, and then when I come back my sophomore year, I'm competing with Sam, and I get some playing time. I have the coaches talking about me, and then if I'm still not happy and I got beat out again, okay. I just was not the better man. But now my name is out there. So it won't be a complete waste of me losing a year because I can jump in somewhere that junior year, make a splash, and maybe I can end up getting drafted or something like that to the NFL. But these guys, they have that quick mentality. It's a microwavable world. Everyone wants it quick and fast. And it just doesn't work like that. And that's why we are at this point where we are now in sports, life, politics. Oh, my God, in politics. Speaking of damn politics, y'all president is a nut. He a fool. You have 80 college students all on the football team, roughly. They're in college. They're not going to turn down free food. They do not care. The University of Clemson went to the White House, and they were fed, like, Domino's pizza and McDonald's. Burgers and fries and pizza. And it's because the government shut down, so we don't have... Wait. Give me a second. I'm going to try this one. Okay. I said the University of Clemson football team all the fast food we could because of the shutdown. Okay. no one was able to come in and like really cook for them. So I fed them all McDonald's. I fed them what I normally would eat. Your president fed the national champions fast food. Now, they enjoyed it. Now, let's be real. Let's be real about this. Had 44 done that? Mm-hmm. You already know. Let Barack Obama fed them kids some fast food. Never get over it. I'm not lying about this one. Dude literally fed them. Look it up. Fed them fast food. They were cool with it, but dang, hold up. You got a mansion. And you invite me over for dinner, and when I get there, you give me a bowl of ramen noodles. Man, that's going to be hard, because if I'm hungry, I'm going to be sitting there. I'm going to eat the noodles, but I'm going to be mad at you, really, really mad, and really pissed to the highest level of festivity, because you don't have any meat up in here. You're doing all this. You invited me, and yeah, I could have bought my own food there. I could have bought my own noodles. I could have chopped a hot dog up and put it in there and been straight. At least I got me some carbs and some protein. But y'all president something else. Into what, 24th, 25th day of government shutdown, and he's not bagging them. Basically, he said that, hey, everybody gonna stay shut down till y'all give me funding for this wall. All I know is this. I'm supposed to be going to L.A. next month. And TSA, those are government employees. I ain't trying to be standing in no airport 2 or 3 hours. Mm-mm. Y'all don't want this. Y'all have a whole lot of problems. I will strategically mess up everybody's plans. But I got an ace in the hole. I got an ace in the hole. Now, I don't know how it works now, but I did pull it before I officially moved to Atlanta. Phew, blew right on by everybody. So I might have to pull that one again. Let's just say it involved crutches. That's all I'm going to say. So this time it may work differently. Crutches and a toddler. That's enough. Don't want to give away too much. Don't want to foil my plans. But I am thinking ahead here. It's like the cartoon Pinky and the Brain. I'm doing the same thing I do every day, trying to figure out a way to take over the world. All right. The one thing that I joked about earlier, and I'm going to wrap it up because I'm getting a little delirious. The one thing you talked about earlier, if the Saints and Patriots should meet in Atlanta for the Super Bowl with leaves. I'm not a Falcons guy like that, but I do, you know, cheer for them because I live here. And when they're playing well, things are a little easier. The Falcons and the Braves. When they win, people are a little nicer. Sun shines a little brighter. The rain seems to be not as wet. It doesn't change the way people drive. They still drive like lunatics, but still. But it's that Georgia sports curse, except for Atlanta United. They said, forget that. We ain't got nothing to do with that. But that's part of what the thought process that I have. A team in their second year of existence that plays in the same stadium as you do won a title before you did. And now you have the opportunity to make history and be the first team to host the Super Bowl in your own building, and you don't make the playoffs. Now, I can't say anything because my Steelers didn't make the playoffs, and my complete Super Bowl pick for the beginning of the season was Pittsburgh and Atlanta. One team dealt with injuries. The other team dealt with one team dealt with physical injuries. The other team dealt with mental injuries. The physical injuries were the Falcons. The mental injuries, those are the Steelers, who have arguably the best wide receiver in the league, who is not showing up for practice, wearing his fur coat on the sidelines, not playing in the game, but is going on Fox as the masked singer. Yeah, whatever. Time to move on. Give me a couple draft picks for him. Y'all can have. Got to be number ones and number twos. That's how true it feels. But getting off Antonio Brown, talking about this Falcons team. To have your arch enemy come into your backyard, use your facilities, play at your stadium, and possibly win a Super Bowl on your field would be very, very distasteful. It'll be salty. That's the word. Falcons fans would be very salty about that. You should. Then on the other side of the coin, the one team that trolled you by putting 283 stones in the ring, the Super Bowl ring, because they came back from a 28-3 lead. Deficit, I should say. And beat you. Then on top of that, Saints fans trolled the Falcons with 28-3 billboards and airplanes flying over and everything. So it's no way as a Falcon fan that you can be happy other than the Super Bowl is in Atlanta. And you may not care about who's playing, but as long as the Super Bowl is here, that may be good for you. But you have the team that beat you, your bitter enemy. Your bitter enemy is mocking you because the team that beat you beat you. And then to add insult to injury, the Patriots drafted a few players from the University of Georgia to even just turn that knife a little deeper into the wound of the Atlanta Falcons. So Falcons fans are hoping for Chiefs, Rams, most, some don't care. But I've thrown my opinion out there. I believe it's going to be Chiefs and Saints. I would not be shocked if it's Saints and Patriots because, like I said, it's Atlanta. That's how things go. But I will not be responsible for the emotional breakdowns that's going to go on with these people losing their complete, absolute, last, ever-loving minds behind this Super Bowl. I gave you all I had. I thank you all. I appreciate it so much. Work is work, so sometimes I have long hours. And when today was one of those days where everything just went different ways. but I moved the show back 30 minutes, moved it back a whole other day because same situation yesterday, but next week I will be back on Wednesdays. 10 p.m. Eastern time, now 10:30, Wednesday, 10 p.m. Thank you for listening. Tell a friend to listen next week. Get in the number and tell them to tell somebody else. And tell them to tell somebody else. Because the more people listen, the more one day I might end up famous. And you can say, I remember him when he was paying his own money to have a show. Great. That'll be good. But if you listen online, I appreciate it. Thank you. You are always welcome to call in and give your opinion, speak your mind, and everything. For those of you that sat there listening on the phone the old-fashioned way, I absolutely appreciate you also. I promise you, I give you my word, next week will be a more organized, a more better show. Yeah, it will. I had to think about it, but it will. You have my word on that. So I want to thank you all for listening. I appreciate the support. Maybe I'll walk the dog right now. Then I'm going to try to grab me some sleep because I have to do it all again tomorrow. So I know all my favorite girls are listening right now. I'm looking at the phone line. So thank you all. Some of y'all I'll talk to tomorrow. One of you I'll talk to tonight. I love y'all. Thank y'all. Hey, enjoy this Jimi Hendrix while I go. I'm going to go use the bathroom. That's what I'm going to do. I'm being a nut right now. I told you I'm delirious. I'm going to go use the restroom. Bye. And